This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. My guest today is Rita Mead. She's a children's librarian at a public library in Brooklyn. In her spare time, she blogs at Screw Decimal, reviews kids' books for School Library Journal, and writes for Book Riot. You can follow her on Twitter at Screw Decimal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are a librarian, and you're in a band, so you really are a librarian rock star.
That's a very controversial topic right now, isn't it? So
yeah, but you really are. So you really can take that.
Well, it depends on your definition of star and rock. But you know, we do make music sometimes, although we haven't in a very long time. So I might be losing that.
Monica. Oh, no.
I know.
Well, tell me about your band. What kind of music do you guys play, and how did you guys get together?
The band is called Lost in the Stacks, and it actually got together way before I even joined them. Jack McClelland, who is one of the supervising librarians at the Central Branch of Brooklyn Public Library, formed the band. I think it was 2008 or 2004. I can't remember. I did not do my research very well for this.
That's all right.
Sorry. But it's the number of members of the band kind of varies. It's got some brass in it, like trombones, saxophones. It's got guitars, got a drummer, of course. So even a flute player. So it's a very interesting mix of people. Most of them are librarians in the band. You know, all the band members are librarians, except for a couple key players, because it's hard to find. It's hard to find a drummer. I don't know if you were ever in a band, but it's hard to find a good drummer. So,
well, in high school, I was in just the high school kind of band, this marching band kind of stuff. But I did play drums there. But
oh, see, that, so you know, a good drummer is hard to find. Definitely, it's a mix of music. It is rock. We do some jazz standards, bluesy kind of stuff. You know, it's fun. It's just a mixture of different people and different styles of music. And
do you play an instrument, or do you just sing? Or
right now, I just sing. I used to play the piano when I was a kid, and then I thought I could play it again as an adult, and it turns out I can't really. So for a couple of gigs, I did sit in the keyboards and kind of tinkered around, but it wasn't adding much, and then it was annoying to have to bring a keyboard everywhere, so sometimes I'll play a tambourine, which you wouldn't expect it, but it does add a lot to the performance.
Yeah, when it's just your voice, your voice is a lot easier to carry around with you.
Well, yes.
So Bill Barnes and Gene Ambaum from Unshelved recently finished up a Kickstarter project for their Library Rangers badges, and one of the stretch goals of that was that they were going to compose and perform a Library Rangers theme, along with a very special guest who just happens to be you. How did you get involved with that project?
Beer. Bill and his friend came to Brooklyn last month or 2 months ago, whenever that was. And, you know, I'm friends with Bill on Twitter, so he said he was going to be in Brooklyn. Let's get together. I said, yeah, great. So we met in Park Slope in a bar. And I knew about the Library Rangers project already, but he was explaining it more and talking about the incentives and the goals they were trying to meet. And he was talking about the anthem that they were going to compose. And I was like, I can help sing it if you want. Not thinking he would take me seriously, because I had a lot of beer. But he said, yeah, that'd be great. I was like, oh, wow. So it was just kind of like one of those things that snowballed, you know, from a joke, and then it turned into a real thing. And then they actually reached the goal, which was great. So yeah, it was just kind of one of those things that you say and then turn into a serious idea. I don't really know what's happening with it yet. I think they're still composing it. We have to work out the logistics of recording from a distance, that kind of thing. But you know, whatever happens, I'm totally up for it.
Well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your own blog, Screwy Decimal, and you also blog a lot for Book Riot.
Yes.
When did you start blogging at Screwy Decimal? And sort of what do you hope people get out of reading it?
I started the blog, I guess it was around 2010. I don't really know why I started. I think it was just kind of like I had been posting things on Facebook, you know, about the funny things that would happen during my day as a librarian. And then people would say, oh, this is funny, you know. And then I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll just put all the stories into one place and kind of collect them for myself to see, you know, the progression of my career, I guess. And it just kind of took off from there. I started the Twitter account, and, you know, I just want people to get a real snapshot of library life, kind of the funny side. My sister is actually the one who helped create the name Screwy Decimal, and it really does describe my job and, you know, the things that I'm trying to show people, like libraries aren't really that quiet anymore. They're not. You know, it's not a boring job where you're just sitting around reading, that kind of thing. Like, trying to dispel all those stereotypes that are still kind of floating out there. Because even some of my own family members and friends don't really understand what a librarian does during the day. So that was sort of my initial goal, to show them this is what's really happening, at least in my public library.
Yeah, you often, like you said, post on your blog and on Twitter about your fun and also not so fun sometimes interactions with patrons. And people sometimes tell the joke of, you know, this job would be great if it weren't for all the patrons and ha-ha. But public service, I think, is a big reason a lot of us join the profession. Do you find that to be the case?
Definitely. I've worked in libraries since I was 14. And that was always my favorite part, was interacting with the public. Even back then, when I wasn't supposed to answer questions as a library page, I would love to answer questions if people asked me. So that's definitely one of the main reasons I'm in public libraries and why I want to stay in public libraries. And yeah, the patrons can be interesting sometimes. It's not always easy interacting with the general public, but, you know, that's the job and that's what I believe in. So it's fun.
So you said you got started in libraries when you were 14 as a page?
Yeah.
And how has your career kind of progressed since then? When did you kind of get into libraries as an adult? And when did you really realize that's really what you wanted to do as a career?
It wasn't really a straight path. I got the library page job at 14. I was in and out of libraries throughout college. You know, I'd go back for the summer to work for the summer reading club. And then I went to college, finished college, and was like, I love working in libraries, but I don't want to be a librarian. I didn't really even consider that an option. I don't know why, because my mom told me to, and she still kind of makes fun of me to this day for not just listening to her in the first place. But I actually, after college, I sort of, you know, had a couple of office jobs unrelated to anything I'd want to pursue in the future. So then eventually I went to grad school the first time for teaching. I was teaching high school English, and I just ended up really not liking it. Teachers have my absolute admiration. It was the hardest job I ever was part of, so it just wasn't for me. And then I kind of got out of teaching and flailed around for a little while, like, you know, what did I do with my life? What am I going to do? And it just sort of hit me one day, like, and I forget the initial inspiration to go back to library school, but I was talking to someone about, you know, not knowing what to do and kind of not regretting quitting teaching, because that was really the right choice for me. But, you know, when you give up something that you worked so hard for, it's kind of hard to see what's next. So she told me a story about her friend's niece or something who was a photographer, you know, really well-known photographer, was a great job. She got to travel, but she hated it. And then she quit and went back to library school. And that was when I was sort of like, oh my God, yes. It was sort of like an epiphany. And
The light bulb came on.
Yeah. I was like, how did I not think of this before? So I did it. And, you know, I went back to school. I had support from my parents. I had moved back at home at that point. You know, it was a kind of a rough time in my life. And my mom's like, are you serious right now? You can't go back to school again. But I was like, no, this is it. Like, this is going to be good. And so I started my second master's program and got a job as a librarian trainee at my former library. So it was kind of like coming home again, you know. And then I, right before I finished grad school, library school, I got, you know, I interviewed for the job where I work now, and it just all sort of worked out. I got hired at Brooklyn Public Library before we had like a huge hiring freeze, so I was very lucky to get in when I did. And, you know, that's kind of where it all came to a head, and I'm still there, and it's good.
And are you in the same position as you were when you first started there, or?
I'm still a children's librarian. I was hired as a children's librarian. You know, you kind of go up the steps a little bit, so.
Right.
You start as, I actually technically started as a trainee because I hadn't finished my master's yet, but, you know, so now I'm like a senior librarian one or something. But yeah, I'm still children's librarian. I've thought about going for management positions, and I've interviewed for some, but it hasn't worked out yet. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of happy where I am right now. I really like working with the kids and doing the programming and working with the schools. So I'm thinking about the future, but I'm happy where I am for the moment.
Right. And this kind of leads into one of the, before we got started, I had asked on Twitter people for questions. And one of the questions was from Glenn Fleischman. I'm not sure who he is. He's not verified on Twitter, so I'm not sure. But
don't say that.
He won't like that joke. but he asked, what's the difference between when you were thinking about being a children's librarian and what the actual reality is? Is there a big difference between those two?
Actually not really, because, like I said, I had worked in libraries for so long that I kind of knew the basic, you know, the basic elements of the job. And things have definitely changed in the last 15 years, which is, you know, to be expected. But I think the major difference in my initial expectations and what's actually happening is coming from a library on Long Island, which is where I grew up and where I got my initial training, and working in the Brooklyn system, it's just, you know, it's just a completely different animal. And I'm sure a lot of librarians have experienced this, you know, working in rural libraries and going to an urban one or vice versa. So you just have to kind of really learn to go with the flow and expect anything to happen and try not to let things shake you up too much. You know, I mean, it depends where you are, I guess, like what city you're in, what neighborhood you're in, but you just have to kind of anticipate that anything can happen and probably will at some point.
So what is it about working with kids that you like? I mean, why did you choose to be a children's librarian? Like, why did you want to make that your focus?
I think, and I'm not trying to say that other parts of librarianship are not important, but just to me, it's the most important, like field within librarianship to me. You're trying to get kids to love reading from an early age. You're kind of like laying the foundation for their expectations of libraries. And you want them to be lifelong library users and lifelong readers. So I always found it to be important to kind of instill those things in them. And also, kids are just fun, as I'm sure you know, having a kid.
Yes.
But it's just they're very honest and they're very funny. And, you know, they often teach me more than I teach them. So I always just liked being around kids. You know, I initially wanted to be a teacher. Maybe high school was not the best idea, teaching high school, but,
like,
you know.
Like the younger kids, maybe.
They're just, you know, they're cute and fun, and it's I like visiting the schools, and they get so excited about libraries, you know, when they come in for a class visit, and it's like this exotic place, and then they realize, you know, we're here to help you, we're here to to serve you. So it's just fun.
And do you do a lot of outreach to the schools? I mean, do you go out to the schools a lot, or do they usually come to you?
It's both. It's a mixture. You know, that's a big part of the job is outreach, both to schools and within the community. So I don't really know. I don't really know what my preference is. I like going to the places, you know, to show the kids. Librarians can kind of go anywhere and pop up anywhere, and you can take books anywhere. And then the other part of it, though, is I like them to come into the library to get comfortable with the resources and the layout and everything. So, you know, it's a little bit of both.
Another question that I got on Twitter was from Timothy P. Rylett, and he asked, in an age where ebooks and smart boards are taking over school libraries, which I guess we're not really school librarians, but yeah. Or public libraries even, what do you feel is a way to maintain interest in traditional library resources?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think all librarians are kind of struggling with that right now, but I don't know. I just see libraries as kind of providing both or providing everything. Again, I think it might depend on where you work. My library system, unfortunately, like, we don't have the best funding right now. So we can't do everything we want to with technology. And it's getting better, and we get grants and things like that, and it's great. But so I don't even necessarily have to compete right now with major technological advances. You know, the kids that come into my branch are not necessarily, you know, carrying around iPads with them. But that also gives us an opportunity to introduce them, you know, for example, like I said, we get grants, and we have, we're expected to get some iPads in the library. And I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, if we're just going to lend them out or just have them there in the room to use. But I don't know. I think we have to kind of learn as we go, and libraries and librarians have to evolve. But I'm always going to be a proponent for books, so that's not going to change for me.
Yeah, I always say that the important thing is usually reading is the important thing, and certainly we love books, but ebooks is reading too, and so it's not a question of either or. It's let's do both and figure out the best ways of using both.
Right, and teaching people how to use the new stuff, but still providing the old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, I personally prefer, and I think a lot of, I'll say older people, not that I'm super old, but I mean, just prefer physical books and things like that, because that's kind of what we grew up with. But when I'm standing in line at a store or something, sometimes I'll whip out my phone and open my Kindle app or whatever and read some. So it's convenient to have ebooks too. So
yeah, I think we're in kind of like a weird generation where we kind of straddle the line between the two. And the kids growing up now, obviously, you know, they're using tablets and stuff from the time they're born, practically. Like, you know, my friend's 2-year-old kid can manipulate an iPhone, and I barely know how to do that. So, you know, it's the world is changing, and we have to keep up with it. But at the same time, I'm always going to bring out the felt set and the puppets and stuff. So, you know, kids are going to be exposed to that too.
Do you do a lot of story times?
Yeah, we do. We do story times at my branch. Unfortunately, one of my story times has been cut temporarily because of staffing. So that makes me kind of sad. But I still get to do story time in other ways. We have a weekend story time where I work with an intern to help kids get ready for kindergarten. And that's a cool program. It's actually called Ready, Set, Kindergarten. And it's hugely popular. I think the story times are one of the most well-attended programs that we have, at least in my branch. I think it's true for other branches. It's definitely fun, and that's where I can kind of bring in the music, right. You know, the music aspect. And
yeah. I was going to ask, do you do a lot of singing or playing little instruments or anything for the kids during the programs?
I try to whenever I can. Yeah, we do a lot of songs. And then we play music, and then, you know, they get little tambourines or whatever and get to kind of jump around, because those skills are still important too, you know. So I try to incorporate that wherever I can.
and getting them jumping around is important too, to get them to calm down sometimes.
So. Yes, definitely. That's why I do the head, shoulders, knees, and toes so much, because it kind of wipes them out, and you know, they listen. They listen after that.
We talked a little bit earlier about your personal blog, but you also blog a lot for Book Riot. How did you get involved with Book Riot?
I love Book Riot, first of all. Jeff O'Neill, who is the editor of Book Riot, actually approached me, I guess, based on, you know, Twitter and the blog, and asked me if I wanted to do a guest post. And I was like, yeah, sure. And, oh God, I can't even remember what I wrote about. But it was like, I had to do three initial guest posts, and then, you know, they would determine whether or not it would be a good fit for the site, that kind of thing. So I believe I did, it wasn't anything library related initially. It was genre kryptonite is the name of the feature that they do, where people write about, you know, if you get really into a certain type of book. And I wrote about drug addiction memoirs, because there was a time where I just couldn't get enough of those. And I don't know why. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing for me to be reading about. And then, so I did the three guest posts, and then became, you know, a regular contributor. And it's been a lot of fun. They're really great. Rebecca and Jeff are really great to write for and to work with. And all of the contributors are really great. It's a very collaborative team. And they pretty much let you write about anything that you feel passionately about, as long as it's book-related in some way.
And do you write on any kind of schedule, or is it just kind of whenever you have an idea for a Book Riot post, you post it?
I think other people are more scheduled. I'm sort of sporadic, just because that's the only way I can function. And luckily, like, they're cool with that. Now I'm doing, like, I'll write about something, and I've written a lot about libraries on there, and they're great about letting me do that. So I've written, as things come up in the library world. And one thing I wrote about, and I forget the guy's name, so maybe we can add that in later, but on the Huffington Post, this writer guy was kind of basically like, oh, libraries, what's a library? I don't use libraries, so no one should use library. You know, it's kind of one of those things that pops up every now and then about how libraries are obsolete, and the guy hadn't even been in a library in like 30 years or something, so... I was able to write a response to that on Book Riot, which was then picked up by the Huffington Post. So that was good. And not even for me, like in a personal way, I mean, it was fun for me, but also, you know, it kind of gave a voice, an opposing voice to the library dissenters. So.
Yeah, it's Michael Rosenblum is his name.
Yeah, thank you. God, yeah. My memory is terrible. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, so just things like that. And so it gives a wider audience to my little rants about library, you know, library advocacy. And then I get to do more like fun stuff. So I have a column now that pretty much just started like a month ago. It's called Dear Book Nerd. That will be more regular. I think every other Friday it's going to run. So people can, it's kind of like a bookish advice column where people can write in with any sort of book-related problem. It's kind of in its early stages, so. But I've gotten a lot of interesting questions, so I'm excited to see where it goes.
And was that your idea, or did the Book Riot people come to you and say, would you like to do this, or?
It actually was my idea, which I'm kind of proud of. So I mean, obviously, an advice column is not a new, you know, a new idea, but I thought it would be fun to have a Book Riot spin on it, because, you know, we have a lot of readers, and they're very vocal and, you know, smart and funny. So I wanted to see what kinds of things they would come up with. I'm excited. I kind of wanted like my little corner of Book Riot. And I think this will be good.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the first couple.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to ask you about that article you just mentioned that was on the HuffPost picked up. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, those kind of articles kind of come up every once in a while of, you know, the library's doomed, I tell you. And yeah. And it usually is written by, you know, there was another one just a couple of weeks ago by a TechCrunch guy. They're usually written by guys who haven't been in the library since they're kids. And they admit that, too, and which seems odd, like you mentioned in your article, that if you haven't been there, how do you know it? How do you know it's Dune? Just because you don't use it doesn't mean nobody uses it. Number one, why do you think those articles keep getting written? And do you think it's partially a sign that libraries need to do more work on their public messaging?
Oh, boy.
or is it just kind of ignorance in general on those people's parts?
I think it's a mixture of all of that. I think they keep getting published because it's an easy target. Libraries are kind of an easy target, especially for people who haven't been in them and don't understand what they do. I mean, it happens pretty frequently, and while we don't have to, like, go after every article that gets written, I think it is important, because some people have said to me, you know, just ignore it. It's not worth talking about. You're just giving him attention, that kind of thing, especially with Michael Rosenblum. But I think it is important, because if people only get one side of the story, that's the only side they're going to know, you know? So as long as these things keep coming out, and we have to choose our battles as librarians, but I think we just need to keep advocating and keep informing people of what actually goes on in libraries. That's the most important part. I don't really care if they understand what a library does and they still don't like it. Okay, you can't change everybody's mind. But a lot of the times people are very surprised to hear what we do, all the resources we actually provide, how technologically plugged in we actually are, you know, and how we can benefit people who might not think that they need libraries. So I think it's important to keep talking about it.
Yeah, especially when they get published in a pretty mainstream thing like the Huffington Post. And
exactly.
If they're getting a big platform, then, and it was nice, I think, of the Huffington Post to reprint yours too on there to balance it out. And
right.
And they've published several other pro-library things in the past too. There was the one you mentioned in an article that I can't remember who wrote it, but it was the one that Alyssa Milano had retweeted.
Christian Zabriskie.
Yes. So that was a really good article too.
Yeah.
That they published. So.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. We're actually in Urban Librarians Unite together. It's a grassroots advocacy group here in the city, and you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes to keep promoting libraries. And every once in a while, you know, we get a chance to have like a wider forum. So it's good.
How did you get started with that organization? And how do you guys, I mean, like I said, it's not really, it's more of a grassroots thing that people kind of started, and it's not driven from an organizational standpoint. It's individual librarians kind of came together and did that.
You know, so many things just start with Facebook or Twitter. So this also, right. You know, I heard about them, I guess, through Facebook, and then I friended Urban Librarians Unite, because at that point, you know, they still didn't have their own account. It was a friend, you know, you had to friend it instead of like it, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So
plus one or something.
Any like sense in, at all. And then I just started attending the events, and they're kind of like almost like street theater in their advocacy events. You know, we did a zombie walk over the Brooklyn Bridge to protest the cuts, and this was a couple of years ago. There's the 24-hour read-in that's held on the steps of Brooklyn Public Library. And it's literally 24 hours of people reading 15 minutes each, you know, just continuously all through the night to show their support of libraries. So I really just kind of liked their methods. It was very, not in your face. It wasn't aggressive or obnoxious, but it was, you know, trying to be loud about libraries, I guess. And I also liked that it was comprised of people from all over the city. It wasn't just Brooklyn. It wasn't just NYPL. It was lots of different librarians. You know, there's corporate librarians, there's academic librarians, all coming together for, you know, to keep the city librarians going. And I think the group is becoming a little bit more mainstream. I don't know if mainstream is the right word, but it's getting, I think, more recognition as, you know, an actual legitimate organization. So good things are happening within the group. and I'm excited to be a part of it still.
And it sounds like you guys get a lot of good press when you do those things like the zombie walk and stuff tend to get good publicity for you guys and get people to pay attention and notice.
Right. It's kind of like, oh, look what the librarians are doing now, you know. They're going to hug the Schwartzman building and, you know, so it's fun in a way. But it also stems from very serious beliefs in library funding and, you know, believing in public librarianship. So it's not all for show.
Right, right. The show is sort of gets the attention, and then you get the message as part of the show.
Exactly.
What is your favorite book of all time? when I was doing research for this, I came across a blog post you read about the Wizard of Oz series, and I actually loved that series as a kid too, and that's really, I kind of put that back as what really solidified my love of reading and libraries at a young age was to that series. I remember going back to the library and over again just to get the next book. And when I read the first one, I didn't even know there was a whole series. I thought I just got the first book because I liked the movie or whatever, and opened up a whole new world.
That was a great series and very, very influential on me when I was a kid, as were, you know, Roald Dahl's books. I always just liked the weird, creepy kind of fantasy things. And Wizard of Oz is very creepy in part. So, you know, I would definitely put that up there. But of all time, I still have to say A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is my favorite, both for the content and just the way that it's written. I think it's just beautifully written. And also, it does feature a librarian in some of the parts, although it's not a very nice librarian. I don't like to necessarily highlight that, but it does show like the importance of reading and education in a very non-didactic way. So obviously it's a very old book. It's a classic. But it's still something that I tell people to read, you know, just because of the influence that it had on me. So that's my overall favorite.
And are there any other, kids books that you will often sort of steer kids to, like if they're, I know in our readers advisory stuff, I mean, we're getting them what would match their interest, but like if they're kind of completely wide open, are there specific books that you always try to?
It's a tough question. And I find myself, and I try not to, because I try not to steer kids necessarily to what I love. Although it's hard. Yeah. It depends on the kid. It depends on their interest level and what they need. So I'm going to say no. I don't have like a set. I have go-to stuff depending on the situation. I'm going to put it like that.
Right, right.
I'm going to cover myself here.
Right, I mean, like kids who love horror, you might have specific books. Like ghosts, you might have this. Witches, you might have this.
Right, mysteries, you know, adventure, stuff like that. But a lot of the time, a kid wants a specific thing, and we don't necessarily have it like a hugely popular series or something, and then I'll have to try to find something like it, even if I don't think it's the greatest written book necessarily. If I know that the kid will be interested in it, then, you know, that's all that really matters to me. Anything that gets them reading, I guess.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, you talked about that a little bit earlier, that, you know, if you can get the kids kind of hooked on the library and hooked on reading, then you've really started them toward a path of not only, because that's important just as a human being to be a reader and love libraries, but that's, there are future supporters. So if you love libraries as a kid, you're going to love libraries as an adult. And then as an adult, you'll pay taxes and want to support the library too.
And then hopefully bring your own kids there.
Yes. Right. Start the cycle over again.
Of libraries. Yeah.
So you are on, in addition to blogging, you are, as you mentioned before, you're on Twitter also. What is it about Twitter that you think is sort of unique in a professional way that you enjoy or that you learn from? I know a lot of your posts are kind of fun things, but then you also will post, I won't say serious things, but I mean just
educational.
Yes, that's a better term. Educational, informational kinds of things. Well, how do you think Twitter specifically addresses that kind of stuff? What do you like about Twitter specifically?
I guess that it is a mixture of fun and informative, and you can be both at the same time, but you know, I follow a lot of librarians, and there's a great community of librarians on Twitter specifically, and it's really fun to see the different ways that people work out there, you know, not just public librarians, academic librarians too. I get a lot of great ideas from people, even if they don't necessarily know it. So I do a lot of lurking. I mean, Twitter's kind of how I get my news these days, especially within the librarian community. It just goes so fast. So, you know, it's kind of right on the pulse of what's happening. And it's also a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun, funny people out there. And I just like being a part of it and, you know, hopefully contributing something to it.
Yeah, I think the fun part of it is what really keeps a lot of people engaged in it, and not so much, because Facebook, I mean, you get the links and you can kind of, but it's not so much the back and forth, and it's not quite as silly, I guess. Yeah.
Twitter's more like just a long conversation.
So Rita, where can people find you online? We talked about it a little bit, but.
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm pretty much always on there unless I'm away or something. My Twitter name is Screwy Decimal, and then my blog is screwydecimal.com. And, you know, if you're ever on the Book Riot site, you can look for me there, and, you know, other places, but Twitter's the best way.
And you can submit your questions to Dear Book Nerds.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to submit it for the Book Riot column, you can email dearbooknerd@gmail.com. Or there's a form on the site, you know, on the other Dear Book Nerd posts. And yeah, I welcome any questions. And I don't know if I can get to all of them, but I definitely like reading them, so don't be shy.
Well, look forward to reading those and to hearing the Library Rangers theme when that comes out.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, thanks for talking to me, Rita.
All right, thank you, Steve.
If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, you can visit circulatingideas.com, or you can follow the show on Twitter @CircIdeas, or on Tumblr @circulatingideas.tumblr.com. You can also like the show on Facebook @facebook.com/circulatingideas. And if you have comments, questions, or suggestions for future interviews, you can contact the show @circulatingideas.mail@gmail.com. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time. And your last name, Mead?
Mead, yeah. Rita Mead.
I thought so. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't Med or...
I know. I do get that sometimes. Meady.
Right.
Really?
So...
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay.
Go on.